So, I may have allegedly broken my toe.
God damn!
Oh my god, really?
Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
How?
This isn't even my goddamn. I've had a fucking rough week, man.
What happened?
Well, my husband and my brother, who is now living with me, they left the house to do whatever they were gonna do, and I was like, all right, all by myself, I'm home alone, this is the best day ever. And then I was like, oh, I have to pee. So then I don't know, fucking ran to my bedroom. I don't know what I did.
Well, you're pregnant and you had to pee, so yes, you ran.
Yeah. And then I took a sharp turn in my bedroom where my bathroom is, and there has been a suitcase on the floor for,
oh,
like,
fuck.
I don't know, when's the last time we went on a vacation?
Oh my god,
fucking 4th of July. So a long ass time it's been there, and I stubbed my toe so fucking hard. It was my little baby pinky toe.
Oh no.
And it's all swollen.
Oh,
and
it looks so mad.
It's still bruised.
It's like a little chode.
Yeah. And I was like, ah! And I was cussing and I was hopping around.
Oh,
and I was
shit.
Like, this fucking sucks.
You're
and
like, what if I would have tripped?
Yeah.
Motherfucker, I got a baby brewing in here.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I didn't fall or anything. And I was like, if I broke something, I would be crying right now.
Right.
Like, that's my determination of whether or not I've broken a bone.
Mine too, but I don't know if it's true or not.
I don't think it is, because I'm pretty sure it's broken.
Oh my god.
And like, I didn't cry during childbirth or anything. Like, it hurt a lot, but it was like, like, ah, oh, this sucks.
You don't cry during pain.
I don't think I cry during pain.
Yeah.
But that happened, and then I don't know if you know this about me, but my pinky toes are, like, my biggest fucking fear in the world to break.
Oh! Actually, I didn't know that about you, but I think we share that fear.
Yeah. And they're so vulnerable.
They are. They're just sitting out there on the edge.
Yeah.
So precariously placed.
Yeah.
And they're so dainty.
And every person that I tell that to is like, oh, just break it right now. I'll take care of that for you.
Ew, why would somebody say that to
fucking
you?
Everybody. I've had multiple people like say that, and then they'll just like grab pliers, like, you want me to take care of that for you? And
I'm like, oh my god, where are you that somebody has pliers around you when you're saying that shit?
Literally at work.
You work with awful people. Fucking psycho. Who would suggest that?
I know. He one person there grabbed scissors, another person there grabbed pliers, and
Jesus.
I was like,
you
no
need
thanks.
To stop confessing your inner fears to these people.
Fucking right. Yeah, they're like, well, you won't be afraid of it anymore if we just rip it off.
Let's I'm just
like,
do some exposure therapy right here.
Yeah. Brandon's aunt did the same thing. She's like, I'll just break it for you really quick.
What
I'm
the
like,
fuck?
I appreciate that.
That is the weirdest response ever.
Hard pass. Yeah.
I'm not interested.
So I text Brandon and I'm like, holy fucking shit. Like, this just happened. And
my worst nightmare is coming true.
Yeah. And you're not here. Like,
what if you look down and it was like totally a fucking 90 degree angle to your foot?
I don't know. I think I would probably pass out.
Oh my god, I think I would too. Like, if I saw it on you, I'd be like, oh nope, it's bad.
Someone would just find us collapsed on the floor.
Yeah. Out of all the things we read and look at,
I know,
and that's what got us.
Pinky toes, man. That shit gets me.
They're scary.
So then, like, 30 minutes later,
yeah,
same fucking thing, same
again?
Toe, same place, same everything. Apparently I was like, I'll never do that again, not gonna move the suitcase. So I didn't
learn my fucking lesson.
And then I did it again, and I was like, it's for sure broken now if it wasn't broken then.
How, like, genuinely rage mode pissed were you?
I was pretty fucking mad.
There is nothing that makes me more angrier in life than stubbing my toe.
Yeah.
Literally nothing.
Yeah. And imagine stubbing your toe and being like, wow, that was a doozy.
Yeah.
And then doing it again.
Pretty sure I broke it.
In the same fucking toe.
Oh, that's
in the same
brutal.
Place. And everyone's like, why don't you just pick up the suitcase? I'm like, the suitcase was there for like 2 months or a month or something before I ever fucking stubbed my toe on it.
It's like biting your lip or something, you
yeah,
know? Once you bite it once, you just keep biting it.
Exactly. So now the suitcase has moved.
Oh, well, I'm glad you learned your lesson after the second time.
Me too.
Fool me once.
Yeah, fool me left one suitcase. Fuck you. Can't get fooled again. Hi, everyone. That was Erin, by the way, that stubbed her toe.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. I don't feel that pain.
All right. Well, on that note, what episode is this?
47.
Ooh. We're getting so close to 52. Which means it's been a year.
Well, all right, lady, give me your goddamn.
Okay, my goddamn is that I'm home a lot right now, right? On maternity leave, so I watch a lot of fucking TV.
Yeah.
And I'm deep in Netflix right now, and I started watching this documentary called Bob Lazar. Have you heard of it?
I think I've heard of it, but I have no idea what it is.
Yeah. So it's kind of popular right now because the topic is Area 51. And you know how everyone's like, let's raid Area 51.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's what this is about. This guy claims that he worked at Area 51 or a part of Area 51, like in the area that everybody calls Area 51 because they don't call that shit Area 51.
Yeah.
I feel like I said that a lot.
Area 51?
Yeah, that one.
Wait, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, the subject matter is Area 51.
Oh, okay.
And
I feel like I've heard his name a lot, Bob Lazar.
Yeah, yeah. He's really well known for this because he worked there and then he stopped working there.
Whistleblowed?
Yep, exactly. He whistleblowed. He whistleblowed.
There's mooses all over the yard up there.
Son of a bitch. I think it was like sometime in the late 80s, early 90s or some shit that he had come out and said, hey, I work at this place. By the way, we have like this alien technology that we're trying to reverse engineer. And you guys should know about this, that the government is covering this up. And everybody's like, fuck you. You're crazy. Right?
Yeah.
Well, he kind of went into hiding because, like, people hated him and the FBI, like, raided him and all this crazy shit.
Oh, my God.
So he's just been laying low. Well, all of a sudden, this documentary comes out, and it's, like, revitalizing his story.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never heard of him, but I have mentioned this before on the podcast, that I am, for some reason, like,
terrified of aliens.
Terrified of aliens and, like, UFOs and shit.
Uh-huh.
And I sat out on the couch one night, and Lee was already, he had already started this documentary, and he was finishing it. And I was like, oh, what's this about? And he told me, like, oh, this guy, you know, Area 51, whatever. And I was like, ooh, I'm going to have to hard pass because we're about to go to bed and I'm going to have fucking nightmares about aliens if I watch this shit. And he's like, it's really not that bad. It's like he's just talking about the shit he saw while he was there. And I was like,
he's just talking about true fucking aliens.
Yeah, like a body that he found.
Yeah.
And so I'm
not that bad.
Obviously, I get sucked in and I'm such a fucking gullible person that now 100% I believe that there's aliens and that this guy worked on an alien spacecraft. He literally drew out the fucking schematics and how it works. And there's like this antimatter that distorts gravity and that's how fucking alien spaceships move. And I'm like, holy shit, we need to get a hold of some Element 115. Like, you guys need to go watch this documentary.
Oh,
it's
my God.
It's really good. But now I fucking go to sleep at night and I'm like, ugh. God damn it, an alien's gonna come and
better lock my windows.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure with their awesome technology, they can get through my window. But a part of the documentary, he was like, I walked by a window and I saw these two guys in a lab coat around this like smaller looking thing. He wouldn't call it an alien or anything.
Yeah.
And then I guess they call the aliens the children because they're like small.
Okay.
Like the size of children or something like that, or the kids or some shit like that. I don't know. But then, so he's alluding that he saw an alien, like that they were looking and working on an alien.
Yeah.
And then eventually he's like, I don't think it was an alien. I think it was a doll. And I'm like, motherfucker, it was a goddamn alien. I'm so convinced right now.
How can you even tell that story if you, in your heart, believe that it's a doll? Like, right? You wouldn't tell that story.
No.
Also, who has lab coats and is working on a doll?
Well, he says that he thinks that maybe they had a doll in there for, like, size, because there's, like, a chair. It was sitting in a chair. So maybe, like, a chair from the spaceship. I don't know. I don't know. Everybody listening is like, she's fucking crazy because she's talking about the shit like it's real. I believe it's real. He literally drew, like, this is how the spaceship works. And then they would ask him other questions like, okay, well, what about this section of the spaceship? And he'd be like, I wasn't authorized to go there. I was only authorized to go here. My only mission was to figure out how this spaceship flew, basically.
Yeah, that's a fucking clever way to avoid questions, though.
I know, but I believe him. I believe him. And then during the documentary, he gets raided by the FBI.
What?
And they're like in the middle of the woods and everything, and they start to talk about this element 115. I don't want to give away too much of the documentary, but they start talking about this like secret element supposedly that he doesn't claim that he has any of, like that he stole any of it, but everybody's like, do you have any element 115? And he's like, I'm not willing to talk about it.
Oh my God.
So he fucking has it. And then they're like recording him because he's going to give a fucking tape confession or some shit to be put into a vault for when he dies. I don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Oh.
But they start to talk and they're like, wait, is your cell phone on you? Like, let's go put your cell phone far away. And then like 2 days later, he gets raided by the FBI. I'm like, somebody's bugged.
Yeah, somebody's a little sketchy.
So now
one of those documentary people is probably chatting up the FBI.
We have a mole.
Yeah.
But I believe that this guy has some element 115.
Well, I'm excited.
You should watch it. And he looks really smart, and I'm all about judging a book by its cover, so
ooh, true.
Take that and shove it
true.
In your pipe and smoke it.
Speaking of which, you look really smart right now with your glasses and your lanyard.
Is it because of my lanyard?
Yes.
We should take a picture so that Karen can see that I'm sporting her fucking lanyard she sent us.
Hell yeah.
It looks like crime scene tape. And it's got a little Sharpie in the end.
Crime scene. Do not enter.
It does. It's got a little Sharpie for me to take notes while Erin tells me her murder stories. And I'll be like, here's your inconsistencies.
Yeah. And then you can be like, I think the best friend did it.
Yes.
Or whoever.
And then I'll just be doodling tic-tac-toe in the corner.
Oh, I wasn't listening.
Oh, I'm sorry. Say that part again. Wait. First of all, I didn't even thank Karen. Just wearing her shit.
That's true. Fucking
thank you.
Thank you. You are the most awesome person in the world. Also, way to sell yourself short. She's like, oh, I got these because I work at a crime scene lab.
I know.
Not that cool. And I'm hold the fuck up. Yeah.
Fucking rewind.
I don't care what you're doing in a crime scene lab. That shit is cool. Yeah. As fuck.
She's like, oh, it's not like I get to touch like fucking DNA samples or whatever. Like,
yeah,
blood stains.
Whatever.
Yeah. You get to say you work at a crime scene lab.
Yeah. Yeah. And also you could be like, this dirt matches the other dirt or whatever it is that you're doing.
I also love that at a crime scene lab, they give out these things like lanyards that say do not cross. Like there's no, that's not considered like
bad humor.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she said it was like from swag. And so I was like, oh, it's probably from like, you know, when you get stuff at trade shows all the time.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. That's fun. That's I want to work awesome. There. I you know. Guys hiring?
Yeah, where do you live?
Yeah.
Let's just move.
Yeah, I'll come be your assistant.
Oh, you think she would like that? We'd fuck up all of your, like, sterile techniques.
Yeah, I was like, she wouldn't not like it at first.
What's this dirt taste like? God damn it, Erin, are you licking the dirt again?
I had to see if it was salty.
Okay, Erin, give me your goddamn.
Okay, so my actual goddamn is I was going to work the other day, and I had a bagel, and I had made my bagel, and I put it in my lap because I was going to drive with my bagel like a really responsible adult.
Naturally.
And I had half of it in my right hand as I was driving, and the other half was in my lap as if to say,
I will eat
my
later
bagel. Yeah. Yeah. And it had a napkin under it because I don't want to get messy, right?
Because you're not a monster.
Exactly. And so I was just munching down on my right hand
bagel.
First
of all, what kind of bagel is this? We need to know.
I feel like everyone's going to judge me.
Yep.
God damn it. It was cinnamon raisin.
I love cinnamon raisin. I won't even judge you for
do
that.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Everybody that I tell it to is like, that's fucking disgusting.
Are you 1,000?
Yeah. Even Brandon is like, those are so gross.
Ugh, they're so good.
Well, I had this bagel in my mouth.
Yes.
And I was getting down on it. And that was my right hand bagel.
She's
bagel.
Literally miming this out as she goes.
Because it's important for you to know.
Okay, I'm watching.
And then I took a bite and I was like, nom, nom, nom. And then for some reason, I looked down at my lap bagel. Uh-huh. I don't know why.
Are you still there?
Call it a sixth, maybe even a seventh sense. And there was a motherfucking spider on it. A huge one. And I am fucking terrified of spiders.
How did a spider get on your bagel?
I have no idea.
What if you already ate the spider eggs on your other bagel?
Okay, listen. So I was at a red light at this point in the story.
Oh my God.
And I was
God.
Like, what the fuck do I do?
You get
and
it
so
off your fucking lap.
With
and
my
you
left
burn
hand,
your car.
I like wrapped up the napkin and like tried to smush the spider because it was on top of the bagel.
Yeah.
So I wrapped up the napkin around the bagel and I tried to smush it as best I could. And then I had to like lunge over with my left hand to put it in the passenger seat. So for all of you English people, passenger seat is on the right hand side of the car in ours. So it was an awkward maneuver, right?
Uh-huh.
Right hand still has the bagel.
Yeah.
So I like couldn't throw it out the window or anything because like how am I going to open the window?
Yeah, you're busy. You've got both hands occupied.
Too many things.
Yeah.
Okay. So then the light turned green and I was like, whoa. Hope I crushed that bagel or that spider. Or at least like got him stuck to cream cheese. And like he's there now, right? And so I still eating my right hand bagel.
Oh my God.
Because
I'm scared for where this is going.
I was like, there's no way that this one had the spider on it. Like the spider had to have come from my car and like climbed up my lap. No, I'm not sure.
But you're willing to risk it because the bagel is that good.
Yeah, it was really good. And I was so hungry. And I had eaten like literally a fucking quarter of it.
Okay, you've committed.
Yeah. And now I'm on the freeway.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I keep glancing over at my passenger bagel now.
Like, yo, is there a spider climbing out of that shit for revenge?
Motherfucker fucking Scooby-Dooed his way up out of there. Like, for everyone, I'm crawling with my hand.
She makes a really good spider hand spider.
Yeah, it's terrifying. It's in my nightmares.
Oh, my God.
For reference, it was probably maybe the size of, like, a quarter.
That's far too large.
Which, for me, is way too fucking large. And so it climbs up to the top of the napkin, and I was like, holy fucking shit. This is clearly, like, a jumping spider and he's gonna come out.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No. And he's gonna come out and, like, fucking jump onto my shoulder. And so I'm screaming in my car this whole time. And
By yourself.
Yeah, and I still have my right-hand bagel.
Oh, no.
And so then every time I took a bite of the bagel, it moved. The spider moved. And I was like...
He's, like, inching closer.
Yeah, and I was like...
She's occupied.
I figured I was eating his friends or his babies. I don't know. So I chucked that bagel out the window. Because I was like, I'm not risking this.
This is sound theory.
So now, right-hand bagel is out the window. Hands-free, on the freeway. I keep glancing over to see, make sure that spider friend here is hanging
aware
out.
Aware that you're no longer eating the bagel.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, not moving, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's this one part on my drive where there's always a cop with a radar gun. Mm-hmm. And I was like, is it legal for me to stop there and be like, this is an emergency. I need help getting... Because I didn't have a plan.
Oh, my God, like, you need to get the bagel out of the car, and you were going to ask, like, a cop to help.
I was going to ask a cop to get this bagel out of my car, because it has a fucking giant-ass spider on it.
Are you serious?
I was dead serious. I was going to let him have it if he wanted it.
Oh, my God.
But I was so, because I didn't know what to do. Like, I don't have anything in my car. I just cleaned out my car, so I didn't have a thing to, like, smash it
get
with.
Get rid of it with, yeah.
Yeah, or, like, a napkin.
Just open the door and kick it out really fast.
Well, I didn't want to litter.
Well, I mean, wait till you get to work and then do it.
Yeah, I don't know. Listen,
it just wasn't happening. You were panicking.
On the freeway.
You were panicking. You saw an opportunity.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm going to stop there if this guy's here. Fucking wasn't there. Must have been his day off.
It's
I don't know.
Probably for the better. I'd be bailing you out of jail right now because they'd be like, this nutso over here.
I feel like it would have been safer for me to not be driving with a spider on my passenger seat. And that's an emergency. Like, you're allowed to stop for emergencies. I had myself convinced it was going to stop.
Oh, my God.
But he wasn't there, so then I kept going. And then fucking spider dude was like, all right, I'm done with this napkin. I've threatened it enough. And he started climbing down onto my passenger seat.
Oh, no.
And I was like, well, now he's going to get lost forever. Like, I don't know what to do.
Now he lives in your car.
Oh, no. I have this bad boy, my water jug here. And it's metal. And I was like, all right, I'm going to get it. And so I had to, like, fucking hype myself up. Like, okay. And I, like, and I smashed it and, like, rubbed it around. Oh. So there was, like, a giant smear of, like, spider guts.
Oh, you got him, though.
Oh, I got the fuck out of him.
What if he would have skittered away?
Oh, no. I made sure that I, like, had him and then kept it on there until, like, mushed it around in, like, a circle pattern.
Like, grinded his bones.
Yeah, I ground his bones to make my fucking seat cushion thing decorative. I don't know. But he did.
Oh, good. I'm glad you survived that one.
I am, too. And then I told one of the guys at work about it when I got to work, and he laughed at me, and then he helped me bring stuff to my car later, and I was like, hey, do you want a half a bagel? He declined, but he did take it out of my car for me and wipe up the spider guts.
Oh, that's so nice of him.
I thought so, too. I was like,
was it your assistant? Because that's a true assistant right there. Dedication.
No. Ugh. Fucking gross.
Nightmares.
All right, lady, let's get this show on the road.
Okay. All right, are you ready?
I'm so ready.
For my FBI Area 51 bugged story.
Yeah, let me get my popcorn out.
Literally, get your fucking popcorn out.
I am.
Side note, this Breezy comes over and she's super pregnant, and I have every junk food in my house because I was recently pregnant. And she walked into my kitchen and it was like, ree, 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 but like in good ways.
Mm-hmm. It's like a fucking pregnant lady's wet dream in your pantry.
Everywhere you looked, you were like, oh my God, I want that. Oh my God, I want that. Oh my God, pop that popcorn. So she is literally eating popcorn while I tell my exciting story.
I am.
Okay, so my story is about Rhonda Kay.
Oh, and Rhonda Kay?
Rhonda K.
Oh, okay.
It's a girl.
All right. I'm with you. I'm picking up
a
trip
down there with Decay, though.
Yeah. All yeah. Right.
It took me a minute.
Mm-hmm.
In 1992, Rhonda K, who was 30, she lived with her husband, Nicholas K, who was 35 and is Rhonda's husband. They live in Newbury, Berkshire, in England.
Berkshire. You're going to get yelled at by B.
Actually, the article that I got this from said Berks, Newbury Berks. And I was like, Berks isn't a place.
No.
And then I Googled it. And it was like Berkshire?
Oh, maybe.
So I
guess... You know, now the more that you say it, I don't know if it's actually Berkshire or if it's Berkshire. Like, I you know how they mumble words sometimes?
Okay, so anyway, Newbury, England. How about that?
I love it.
Rhonda and Nicholas had married 4 years prior in 1988. Mm-hmm. And Rhonda had fallen pregnant with a child who was a son.
All right.
Gasp.
Yeah.
She fell pregnant. The couple were making ends meet by running a baby supply shop.
Oh.
Out of their home.
That's a good thing to have if you're pregnant.
I know, right? Look, I got all this shit already.
Yeah.
And they also supplemented their income by having lodgers rent out a room in their home.
All right. So they're like the modern Etsy / Airbnb.
Exactly. But in 92, they were ahead of their time.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. So Nicholas at one point begins having an affair with one of the lodgers.
What a fucking asshole.
That's not a good Airbnb trade.
No.
Well, maybe it is.
I mean, maybe. Yeah, if you're into that
service
sort of
on the side.
Can I have some fresh D with my dinner?
Oh, shit. Okay, so anyway, he's having an affair and Rhonda finds out.
Mm-hmm. Also, his D probably isn't fresh.
No.
It's been used.
It's been used. Do you think it matters?
I don't know.
Just wash it. It's like new.
Just wash your meat in the sink, gentlemen.
Freshen up.
All right, so she found out.
Okay, so she finds out.
Good.
But she stays with him.
Oh.
And they end up working through the whole affair thing. And
did the lodger stay?
No, the lodger left, which is probably healthy for a relationship.
That's what I was thinking.
But what's not healthy is Rhonda would, like, never let him live it down. She never really truly forgave him.
Yeah.
And she would always bring it up. I'm sure in arguments. Oh, yeah. Just like how you fucked that lady. Anyway, she would bring it up often, even when other people were around. So it was like those awkward couple fights where you're like,
those are the best.
They are.
Forgot the jelly, you twat.
Ooh, good word, twat. So then on November 5th of 92, Rhonda and Nicholas, they get into a heated argument.
Mm-hmm.
Probably over this lodger or whatever. It doesn't sound like they had a very healthy relationship.
Nope.
So they're pissed at each other and Rhonda gets super angry and storms out of the house.
All right.
Then in the middle of the night, Rhonda comes back home and what does she find?
Another lodger?
She does. Nicholas is in bed with the second lodger.
What a fucking asshole.
And this he is a dick. This lodger was a woman by the name of Karen Scott.
All right.
So Rhonda is like, fuck you, and goes ballistic.
Yeah.
And she starts hitting Nicholas and Karen, and she screams for Karen to get out of the house, right?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out.
That's a reasonable reaction.
Yep. Yep. So she's going crazy doing all that shit. She calls her sister right away, and she was hysterical. But her sister was able to, like, calm her down, and Rhonda had mentioned, like, I'm going to go talk to a solicitor, which, fun fact, a solicitor in England is a legal practitioner.
Yep.
To talk about ending the marriage, right? Like, I'm going to call somebody, and we're getting a fucking divorce.
Yeah, I'm over this guy and his wandering D.
Yeah. Keep your D in your pants.
Yeah.
So, the following day, she had an appointment with that solicitor, and she kept it. And she went through and, like, you know, met with a lady and figured out what she had to do.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm assuming it's a lady. Could have been a man.
Could have been.
She later calls her sister to tell her about the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And that she planned to confront Nicholas and, quote unquote, have it out with him and ask him to leave.
Not a great idea.
No.
That's how you die.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Spoiler alert.
I think you're headed in the right direction.
Yeah.
So that was the last time that anyone had ever heard from Rhonda again.
God damn it.
See?
Here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. If you're going to leave, just fucking leave.
Yep.
But don't go have it out with them. You don't need final words.
No.
You can have final words like 10 years down the line when you're fucking balling and living your high life and then they're, I don't know, homeless.
Yeah.
That's your hope. That's your last word.
Living their low life.
Yeah. And they're an asshole and they're married to another bitch or something.
Exactly. Okay, so Rhonda goes missing. Nicholas says that she left in the morning and she never came home. And she left her car and her clothes all behind and her bank accounts go untouched. And so investigators become suspicious that she might have met foul play, right?
Like, yeah.
So
you guys had a big argument and then slept in the same house and then...
She just left in the morning?
Yeah.
With nothing?
With nothing. She didn't take her car or anything?
No, just left. And he's
like,
didn't
think that was weird?
He's like, not that weird. I mean, he's like, I want to know where she is. But, like, she just left.
No big deal. She just went for a walk.
Yeah. She just never came back. Went and got cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
So, investigators are like, fuck, man. She's probably dead.
Mm-hmm.
And they start searching the canals behind her home.
Ooh, creepy.
Yep. As well as the house and the surrounding area and everything to, like, try to find remains or some sort of sign or some sort of, you know.
Clues.
Yes, exactly.
Looking for Blue's Clues.
Yeah. Okay, so they look and they find nothing. Police start to suspect that she either hurt herself or she was hurt by someone else. So maybe she committed suicide. And when Nicholas was questioned as to what he thinks happened to her, he's like, oh, she had a father who lived in America, so I bet she ran away to America.
With nothing.
With nothing.
Not even her car to the airport and, like, leave you with the fucking parking lot bills.
Right? And also, you have a kid here, and you're just going to leave your kid behind and not say anything and just go to fucking America? Sure.
Yeah.
Right? You seem to have a lot of answers, Nicholas.
Yeah, Nicholas. Also, with bank accounts untouched.
Yeah. How are you doing that?
How fucking expensive is that flight?
I don't know, but she didn't take any money or anything, so. So your theory is full of holes.
Yeah. Nicholas.
So what ends up happening is that the police hold a press conference in hopes of getting some new leads or something. And they get Rhonda's sister and Nicholas to speak on Rhonda's behalf. And this is all recorded.
Oh, geez.
And so Nicholas goes on to plea that if anyone has any info to step forward, because he just wants to tell his children what happened to their mother. And he wants to be able to tell them that everything's okay and that she just ran off, right? This is what he's all saying. I'm paraphrasing here.
Uh-huh.
He mentions in the press conference that they were separating. They both knew that they were separating. They're all aware of that. But like I said, he just wants to know that she's safe.
For his children.
Yes, for his children.
Won't somebody think of the children?
For the children. Nicholas kept maintaining that he thought that she would be walking back through the door like any day, any second she's going to come right back in. She's not hurt. She's not harmed. She's not dead. She wouldn't hurt herself.
Yeah, she's just taking a little break.
Yeah, she's going to come home, guys. Just wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
The police obviously find Nicholas to be super fucking suspicious.
Yeah.
So in the briefing with the press before this press conference that was videotaped, when the press people asked, like, what kind of questions are off limits, the police basically said, like, you can ask Nicholas anything you want, just go for it, like, whatever questions you have, go for it. Usually they're like, don't ask those kind of questions, those are pretty intense, like, this is a grieving family, be kind,
be respectful.
Yeah, but the police were like, let them have it.
All right, I like this.
I know. So a journalist straight up asks Nicholas if he killed Rhonda. Like, did you kill your wife?
Yeah.
And he pauses and he takes a long time to reply. And quite stoically, he says, what do you think?
I think yes.
I wish somebody would have said that. The journalist, like, takes a second and then he's like, please just answer the question. And so Nicholas says, no, I did not kill my wife. But, like, super sassy.
Yeah.
And so Rhonda's sister is literally sitting right next to Nicholas is happening. And she's already like, fuck you, dude, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure
I already don't
something.
Like you because you're divorcing with my sister and
exactly.
I'm bred
and you
to
cheated
hate you.
On her twice.
Yeah,
exactly. As soon as she heard his answer, she was like, oh, that's some bullshit. Like, I'm fucking in on you, buddy, right?
Yeah.
And she's sitting right next to him. And I think she keeps her composure pretty well. But, like, knowing that and watching her face, you're like, ooh, girl. Ooh, girl,
oh my
kill him.
God.
Him.
How fucking, enraging would that be?
So enraging. And they, like, interview her and stuff, and she's like, oh, I just knew it. I knew he had something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also, like, pissed because of the way he's, like, so emotionless and, like, insincere in his answer.
Yeah.
So she's just like,
well, what a fucking dick thing to say. What do you think?
Right? Like, I mean, you have to be prepared for somebody to ask you that question.
Yeah, as the spouse of a possibly deceased missing person.
Exactly. And if you genuinely didn't do it and somebody asked you that, your reaction would be totally different.
Not
to say there's a right or wrong way to answer that question, but he answered it wrong.
Yeah. No, but his was pretty wrong. I would do like a me. I'm gonna practice it.
Take your glasses off and shine them.
Yeah,
it couldn't possibly be me. Like I was saying, people, like, a lot more people, because this is, like, public, right? It was aired on the news and shit. They start to think it was him also because of his lack of distress in his face and how stoic he was in everyone.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, you did it, Nicholas. And by the way, we got no further information from doing that press conference. Like, no leads came forward or anything, so
you're our main suspect.
Exactly.
All right.
So the police start to look at Nicholas a little closer, and they discover that Karen Scott, the lodger, lady, lover person, she had moved in with Nicholas. And in fact, she had moved back into the house 2 days after Rhonda went missing.
Nope.
Bad idea.
Yeah.
They
also, you expect your wife to come back?
Yeah. Huh.
The person that you were cheating with, though, is cool to move in?
Yeah.
Like, no, what no, you don't expect her to come back.
Nope. Even though you guys talked about separating and everything, it's still just, like, a respectful thing to do with your child living in your home, right?
Yeah, and it's still, like, their shared home.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if you're separating, fucking either sell that shit or figure it out, but it's still their shared home.
Exactly. So, the police also find that all of Rhonda's possessions had been sold or burned. What you burning over there, Nicholas?
What the fuck?
Yeah, right?
Also, that's not someone who's going to come home.
No, you're not expecting her to come home at all.
No.
Because Nicholas is a dick with a wondering D.
Yeah. Nick.
Get out of here, Nick and Karen.
And Karen.
Fucking Karen.
Fucking Karen. Not our Karen.
Though. No, our Karen's cool.
Yeah.
So Nicholas and Karen, they eventually get married, and Rhonda's investigation goes cold.
Oh, my God. And first of all, how secure would you be as this Karen person to be like, oh, it's fine. Everything's great. His wife's just missing.
I'm not worried that his wife went missing mysteriously.
Yeah, right when they were getting separated and literally fucking after she caught me.
Yeah.
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 Ugh, no.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's how you get murdered.
Yeah, she's not very bright.
No.
So for 7 years, nothing new about the case comes out.
Oh, my God. This poor child.
I know. So fucked up.
Yeah.
Then in autumn of 1999, a detective reviewed Rhonda's case and he was like, I'm going to solve this case. Like, if it's the last thing I do, my career's coming to an end. Like, he's going to retire. Not that, like, you know, all dramatic. He didn't get in trouble for anything, but he's like, this is going to be the last case I solve.
Yeah.
And he's making it his mission, right?
Awesome.
And he, like, talks to Rhonda's family and everything and is like, listen, I'm going to blow this shit wide open.
Ooh,
I
like it.
And they're like, get it, detective.
Yeah.
So, of course, Nicholas is still the primary suspect. I mean, obviously, because he had the motive and the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But there was zero forensic evidence in the case to implicate him.
Well, he burned all the fucking evidence.
Right? Here's the thing I don't get. Is like, if they searched his house, how did they not find anything?
Yeah, right? Maybe it wasn't done at the house.
Maybe. I don't know. So, the detective decided to try to get him to confess.
Ooh. After all these years?
Risky move, detective.
Yeah, the detective's just like, I got this.
Yeah, don't you guys watch. I can get him to tell me some things.
Stand back. I'm just going to beat the level.
Give me the remote.
Yeah.
Or the controller, not the remote. Okay, so in 99, the police were granted this power to bug a private residence if there was no other way of obtaining evidence.
Ooh.
So.
All right. That seems fucking illegal, but I'll allow it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's still legal, but in 99 or early 2000s, they were like, you know what, listen.
Yeah, if nothing else is working, sure, just invade their private residence.
See what happens.
Invade their privacy and all that.
So this detective was like, hey, I have an idea. Let's get him to confess by bugging his house.
Yeah.
And seeing if they talk about it, right?
Yeah.
So while Nicholas and Karen were on vacation, the Popo 5-0 roll in and they bug the house.
Uh-huh.
And they put microphones in the kitchen, the bathroom, and the bedroom.
Ooh, okay.
The bathroom. Interesting, huh?
Sometimes when you're just taking a mean shit, you're like, if only I hadn't killed that person.
Karen, get in here. I need to talk about how I murdered my first wife.
Yeah. You might could like consider it karma.
Yeah.
You have painful shits because you killed a person.
Yeah.
That'd be really good karma.
The old bubble guts?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Not the bubble guts.
Yeah.
Okay, so the cops then, they're like, all right, they're not going to just naturally start talking about this fucking 7 years later, right?
Yeah.
So we have to coax them to start talking about Rhonda's disappearance.
Are they going to start sending them, like, letters in the mail? Like, I know what you did last summer.
Well, they have Rhonda's sister call Nicholas and tell him that the police had recently found remains and that there was DNA on the remains. And she ended the phone call with, I hope they get you this time, you bastard.
Ooh.
Ooh, good, right?
Yeah.
They didn't find any of this shit, so they were lying.
What if he was like, how'd you find remains? She's in my basement.
Like, right.
I know that's a lie because I did this or whatever.
Yeah, it was a risky move.
It is pretty risky.
But it paid off because the call was a catalyst. And it got Nicholas and Karen to start talking about Rhonda in the home.
Oh my God, was Karen in on this?
So after the call ended, the listening devices picked up Nicholas and Karen having a very agitated conversation.
Okay.
And Nicholas is heard talking about a body in a lake near Cirencester.
Ooh.
Which is a place for all of us Americans. A place somewhere in fucking England. And he was like talking to Karen about like if the body would even have forensic evidence anymore.
Yeah, in 7 years.
Yeah, in 7 years, does it just disappear? But it's in water, right?
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about. So Karen says, and I quote, is it possible? Don't give me any bullshit. meaning, like, is it possible that they actually found her and that there's evidence and all this shit, right?
Oh, my God.
And so Nicholas says, only if they got divers down or something. It's been a long time. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, my God.
Nicholas is also heard talking about a plastic bag. And says, it would be too small and it was in bits.
What?
He fucking, like, chopped her up. And then he said, once the tendons have rotted, it will separate and disperse. This isn't a normal conversation.
No, and also, how the fuck do you know that?
Yeah.
Or what gave you that idea?
Weirdo.
Yeah.
So Karen then says, I don't think you're telling me the truth. I don't think you used gloves. Oh. I mean, obviously, this is like bits and pieces of their conversation. It's not like word for word.
Yeah.
But like, basically, Karen's like, motherfucker, there better not be forensic evidence on that shit. And he's like, I mean, how could there be? It's been in water forever. And I put her in bags and she would have rotted away and everything. And the only way they could find her is if they had divers. And then Karen's like, fuck you. You didn't use gloves, did you?
Oh, my God.
So,
first of all, Karen, get out. Like, right? What?
So she was in on it.
Yeah.
I think.
Or at least knew about it.
Yeah. Like, she was okay with it. She at least knew about it.
Yeah.
She's not like, I'm sorry, what, Nicholas?
What's that? You mean your wife didn't actually just disappear?
Walk away?
Oh, my God.
Yes. So Karen then begins to coach Nicholas on how to respond to the police when they come around. So she pep talks him and reminds him to not look guilty. Ugh. And to look like he doesn't give a shit. Like,
what?
She's saying shit like, don't forget you're innocent. So, like, look like you don't give a shit and, like, it's not gonna, like, blow your world apart, right?
That they,
like,
found anything.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Like, just don't look guilty.
Oh, my God.
She also says, quote, I've just got this awful feeling the bubble is about to bust.
Yeah, it
Karen,
is.
I think you're right.
You're busting it right now, bitch.
And then she said, if anything happens to you, I would wait for you.
Ew.
How fucking romantic, right?
Yeah.
So after hearing all this shit, the police are like, yo, Nicholas, come with us.
Yeah.
And they question him. And when confronted about the taped conversation, Nicholas is like, oh.
We were talking about my pet dog.
Oh, that. Yeah. He's like, well, see what happened was.
Yeah.
When Rhonda's sister called us, he was so shocked by the news that Karen, his new wife, had suggested that it was possible that the home was bugged. And so they just staged the conversation as a joke.
Right.
Oh, my God, that's so shocking. I bet the house is bugged. Let's just stage this conversation.
Let's just pretend that we actually murdered someone so that we get implicated.
Wouldn't that, like, be so funny?
What?
What an idiot. What a, like, the worst fucking excuse ever.
Yeah.
But then again, this is
we
the same
man. We knew you were
man.
Listening.
Yeah. This is the same man who, like, on fucking national TV was like, what yeah. do you think when asked if he murdered her?
Ugh. What a dum-dum.
What a dum-dum with a wandering D.
Yeah, a stupid wandering D.
Oh, God. So even though there was no body and no forensic evidence and no witness,
yep.
Nicholas was brought to trial for the murder of his former wife, Rhonda.
Good.
So the prosecution had to rely totally on that taped conversation.
Oh, my gosh.
And of course, Nicholas, like, denied ever killing his wife, but the jury returned a guilty verdict. Not for murder, but for manslaughter.
Okay.
Which is, like, super controversial because manslaughter suggests that Nicholas killed Rhonda, like, had killed her, and admits to it, but that he didn't intentionally kill her. So that's
yeah.
the difference between the murder and the manslaughter, right?
Yeah.
But Nick always maintained that he didn't know what happened to his wife, so how was the jury able to discern if he had killed her on purpose or not, right?
Yeah.
Like, they never even brought into argument, like, okay, listen, I killed her, but it was in self-defense or anything. Like, none of that was ever brought to the jury. It was just...
So the jury is just kind of giving him a pass with manslaughter?
I guess. And so I had read somewhere, it was something like, in the law, if you can't totally prove that she was murdered or that it was murdered or something, you have to give the jury another option. And so even though they didn't plead the case of manslaughter whatsoever, they maintained his innocence all throughout it. Didn't
yeah.
even give them an explanation as to what had happened. Just said, because there's no body, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, I didn't fucking kill her.
Yeah.
Who even knows if she's dead, right?
Yeah. Although I feel like they should fucking drag the lake or whatever. Like...
Oh, yeah. Well, they did. I didn't write that down, did I? They did. They, like, searched everywhere and didn't find her. They
oh,
go
my gosh.
And they searched where he said
yeah.
that her body was, but they didn't find anything. I mean, it's been 7 years.
Yeah, yeah. She could have been.
And she was in bits, supposedly.
Ugh.
in bags. Anyway, for some reason, the jury came back with manslaughter. And because of this lesser charge, Nicholas was only sentenced to 6 years in prison.
What?
Yep.
That's less time than he's been free.
I know, exactly. And so, obviously, based off of his conversation that was recorded, it's speculated that Nicholas had killed and dismembered Rhonda and then disposed of her remains in some body of fucking water.
Oh, my God. Is he still with Karen? Did she wait for him?
Oh, I'm sure she did.
What a bitch.
Oh, I'm so sure she did. But anyway, I wanted to share with you that there's this documentary called Crocodile Tears.
Ooh.
And it's about people who have committed a murder and they're like recorded basically saying they didn't do it or like pleading for the public's help and shit when really they are the ones who committed the murder. And so that's what sucked me into this, was because you could go watch this guy's the interview where he's like, what do you think?
Yeah. Oh my God, I want to see that.
Yeah. And I thought it was interesting that they bugged him and that's how they got him.
That's
even though
insane.
We don't. Yeah, I know. It's so sad though, because we don't really know what happened to her.
Yeah.
Other than she's dead.
Yeah.
Like, he admitted to it. And yeah. It doesn't sound like it was pretty. But now I'm like, go through the house and luminol it. There had to be blood if she was dismembered.
Yeah, but 7 years later?
I'm sure it lasts.
I have no idea.
Do you think he was, like, re-bleaching the walls?
Hey, Karen, does it last?
Hey, lab tech.
Yeah.
Tell us about luminol.
Tell us about luminol. Will that shit just hang around?
Can we keep testing it?
Yeah. Like, does blood stay? If someone's murdered in a house, like, could you go through a house that you're about to buy and be like, make a turn, no one was ever murdered here?
Yeah, spray it down in luminol and give me a black light.
Yeah, that's insane.
I know,
God damn.
Right?
Whoa.
Okay, Erin, give me your murder story.
I will. So, my story was actually recommended by a listener.
Ooh, yay!
Yeah, from our brand new Facebook group.
Yes.
Yep.
Damn, girl.
I know. It's from Ashton Lawrence.
All right.
So, thanks, dude.
We appreciate you.
Yeah, motherfucker. So, it takes place in October of 2018.
Ooh, shit, it's like last year, not even a year ago.
Yeah.
Okay, creep me out. I'm ready.
All right. This girl's name is Lauren McCluskey.
Okay.
Lauren was a track star, and in high school, she was the Washington State champion in the high jump. And Ooh. Also in high school, she held the record for the 100-meter hurdles.
Oh, shit.
So, like, this bitch got it going on, right?
For the record.
Yep.
Erin used to be in track.
That's
and field.
True. And field. I also did field.
And she was a star pole vaulter.
Such a star. it's true. I did it, and I was in sprints and pole vault. And,
you were.
Yeah, I did the 100-meter, not the hurdles. Well, I did the hurdles a couple times. I'm
Girl.
Short, though, so I didn't last.
So this could have been you.
Could have been. Thank God it's not. Well, she was, like, way better than me because she got a scholarship to the University of Utah
Ooh.
For track
Dang.
And field.
Both of them.
So then she competed in college as a pentathlete.
Whoa, five of them?
Yeah, that's right. Good job.
Thanks.
But she was starting to specialize in jumps. So, a side note. In case you don't know this.
I probably don't.
According to Google, a pentathlon consists of the 60-meter hurdles, high jump, shot put, long jump, and the 800-meter run.
Ugh, those all sound so hard.
Yeah, I can't do the high jump, the shot put, or the long jump. So I could not do this. But also, according to Google, the Olympic pentathlon consists of fencing.
Ooh.
Freestyle 200-meter swimming.
Freestyle.
Mm-hmm. Equestrian show jumping.
Oh, shit.
15 jumps.
This part.
And a final combined event of pistol shooting and cross-country running 2 miles.
Oh, wow. How do they combine those events?
I've actually watched it. They run, like, oh, I'm running, and they have a gun on their back. It's like a rifle, and they're just running, 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 and then they get to a certain point, and they have to, like, get down or whatever and then shoot this target like 3 times in the bullseye or something before they can get up and run again. But every time they miss, I think, then they have to like do another 100 yards or something.
Oh, Lord.
Crazy like that.
That's my nightmare.
Yeah.
Except for the shooting the gun part sounds fun.
Yeah, except for the running part. That
yeah,
awful.
I would miss so much.
Yeah, and the swimming part also sounds like it sucks.
All of it sounds like it sucks.
I could fence, probably.
Yeah. I mean, I would be faking and saying, on guard, the whole time.
Every time.
And they'd be like, stop.
But I don't think that she was competing in that type of a pentathlon.
No, probably not. I mean, it would be very entertaining to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. So she also ranks 10th all time in the pentathlon. So she was really fucking good, yeah. I guess, right?
Yes.
And she was a senior at the University of Utah and had a 3.75 GPA. Okay. So she's fucking
nailing it,
rocking this whole student athlete thing.
Yeah, yeah, she's got the shit down.
She's an all around awesome student and athlete, one might say. Uh-huh. And she was loved by everyone, according to her mother.
This is the way to get murdered, is yeah. to be loved by everyone.
Yeah, and to be really good at a lot of things.
Yeah.
Five of them, to be exact.
But I'm not good at six things.
No, I'm only good at four things, so.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, keep it that way, you won't get murdered.
Sound advice.
She ended up dating a man named Melvin Rowland.
Okay.
They met on September 2nd at a bar where he was working as a bouncer, mm-hmm. and he was attending a local community college and taking classes in computer science.
Okay.
And I guess her mom was like, whoa, this guy isn't really Lauren's type.
Whoa, you're way too good for him, Lauren.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
But she didn't want to interfere because her and Lauren had a great relationship, and she didn't want to be the, like, helicopter mom,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, you're like, I'm like the cool mom.
Yeah.
Not like those other moms.
Exactly.
Plus, if you're like, I hate them, then they're going to stay together for fucking ever.
The mom ended up being right.
Yes.
And their relationship only lasted about a month.
Good.
Before the relationship ended, though, Lauren's friends contacted housing officials and said that Melvin was controlling and talking about guns.
Housing officials? Oh, like in their dorm? Okay. Yeah. I was like, your landlord's not going to give a fuck about that.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Some of the things says apartments. Yeah. Like, in some of the articles, they were talking about her apartment, but I think that either she lived in apartments, like, on campus.
Yeah.
Or something like that, because they, I mean, had housing officials.
Yeah. Got it.
So, he was allegedly trying to control what she was allowed to wear and who she could hang out with.
Oh, Lord. You gotta get rid of this guy, Lauren.
Yeah. Fucking red flag, ladies.
Yeah, seriously.
But apparently this report never made it to police because of, quote, technical problems submitting it.
Ugh.
And
this is another way to get murdered. Just yeah. file a police report, but it not actually ever get filed.
Yeah, yeah. Along with the technical problems submitting it, there were also concerns about overstepping into Lauren's private life.
All right.
Like the.
But it's a police report.
Right? But I don't know. Like, the housing officials were like, maybe that's how she wants to be treated.
Oh, yeah. I guess you got to be like, hey, Lauren, you want to file this?
Yeah, like, do you want this or do your friends just want this, yeah. right? So then Lauren's friends, who are apparently, like, fucking Scooby-Dooing the shit out of this guy.
They're really good friends.
Super good friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
They start trying to, like, find out more on this guy.
Uh-huh.
And they find out that he had a criminal history.
Get out of here.
Yeah. And so they tell Lauren about it.
Yeah. Hey, Lauren, guess what?
This guy has a criminal history.
Oh, we Googled him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Which I would fucking Google anyone that you dated.
Yes.
So, turns out, he was convicted in 2004 of, quote, enticing a minor and attempted forcible sexual abuse.
Holy shit, hold up, 2004?
Yeah.
That's like forever, fucking, let me do some math, 12 years prior. How old is this guy?
Well, I'll tell you.
Okay.
So, that is a felony in and of itself.
Yes.
The enticing a minor and all that kind of shit.
Good.
I guess it's like a double felony.
Good.
Yeah.
Should be.
And he had a history of manipulating women, and his targets were teenage girls and vulnerable women.
Oh my gosh.
Like most predators, right?
What a weirdo.
Yeah. This guy was a fucking sex offender.
Yeah. Not a good guy to have around.
No.
So she show up on, like, My Watchdog or yeah, My Neighborhood Watch
right?
or whatever.
What's the... It's not Angie's List.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of.
What's the... Megan's called... Law. Megan's
oh,
List.
Oh, yeah. Angie's List.
It's not Angie's List.
Oh, he'll
repair your deck.
We both went to the same place.
Yep.
He just might murder you and poke you with his D.
Exactly. He'll put holes all up in your intestines.
Oh my God.
So
is that where the story is going?
No, I'm sorry. I was just thinking of where D's go.
Okay.
So she broke up with him.
Good.
Which is a reasonable fucking reaction to yes, learning that your boyfriend is a sex offender.
And when he's controlling and shit.
Yeah.
Wait, you never told me how old he is.
Oh, and also.
Yeah.
He lied about his age.
Oh, God.
He was 37. And she was 21.
And how old did she think he was?
I don't know.
20-something?
But I'm believe sure that she thought, yeah, he was like a college student.
Dude was almost 40.
Dude was almost 40.
Oh, shit. Ew.
Yeah.
Ew. So that means he was like 20-something when he did all that shit with a minor.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
What a sicko.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. You know, I was thinking like, oh, if he had just turned 18 and he was with like a 17-year-old or,
yeah,
or 16-year-old or whatever the fucking age of consent is.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. But my point was, I was thinking, oh, okay, maybe he's just misunderstood.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
No, he wasn't. He was a fucking predator.
Okay.
So, also, he lied about his name.
Oh, good. His name wasn't Melbourne or whatever.
Melvin.
Melvin. Well, what a horrible name to pick.
I know,
right? Sorry if there's any Melvins out there. It's just, it's not like a sexy name.
Right. Well, Melvin was his real name.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure what he said that his name was. Maybe like Mel.
Oh, see, that's a sexy name.
Yeah.
Is Mel Gibson's name Melvin?
Is
his real name Melvin?
I don't know.
I never thought about that. I was just like, he's super cool. You
yeah,
know?
He's
like Ace Mel.
Mel. Yeah. Maybe. I feel like this requires a Google.
Yeah. We'll Google it later. Someone will tell us.
Yeah.
Fucking Melvin. He's got to be a wizard.
Exactly.
Okay. Got
so,
it.
I'm not sure what he said his name was, but
okay.
It wasn't Melvin, apparently.
Alrighty.
Side note, great fucking friends. Also,
yeah.
How'd you figure that shit out?
They were on it.
Yeah.
That's a really great friend. Well,
super
he must have been
it.
Super creepy.
Oh, yeah. Like, they really didn't like him.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't just like, oh, he's annoying and she's hanging out with him all the time. It's like, oh, no, 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 no.
Yeah. Like, oh, no, no, this isn't right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't dip your vag in crazy.
Ew.
Well, because, you know, the other way.
Yeah, I know. You did, like, the chip dip motion, though.
I did.
Anyway.
Okay.
So, Lauren broke off the relationship on October 9th, 2018.
Okay. Good, Lauren.
But apparently, he had stayed the night at her apartment the night before and then had borrowed her car that day to run errands.
Okay.
So, I assume sometime during that day, she found out from her friends and then she was like, whoa, and broke it off and hadn't seen him, right?
It's crazy that after a month, he's like borrowing her car and shit.
I thought so, too.
I'm not that trusting.
No. So, Lauren's mom was like, hey, don't meet up with this guy to get your car back, like, by yourself.
Because oh, God.
That's sketchy as fuck.
Oh,
and
God.
She's like a smart mom, right?
Yeah.
She had like intuitions about this
guy.
Oh,
my God.
Stuff.
Good thing she was like in touch with her mom about everything.
Exactly. I guess her and the mom talked like at least once a day, sometimes multiple times a day.
That's so fucking cute.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
They
call
had
my
a mom.
Really good relationship. I know. I can't. Sorry.
So. It took a dark turn.
Fucking me too. Hashtag me
Great
too.
Great response.
Yeah.
To the I'm sorry comment.
So the mom contacted campus police and asked them for a security escort to help get Lauren's car back.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Also, would be very awkward to show up with an escort, but smart because then you're not going to get murdered.
Exactly. I don't think it'd be that awkward if, like, you just broke up with a person and you're like, I'm just making sure that you don't make a scene, dude.
But
you have
did
a criminal
they break
history.
Up while he had the car?
Yeah.
Or was it, oh, girl, wait till he comes back with the car and then break up.
Yeah, but maybe she was just like, what? No way, Jose, and called right then.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
I'm not entirely sure on that.
Either way, she shouldn't go alone.
No,
but
agreed.
Especially if you broke up with him already.
Yeah. So then the mom was like, hey, I got you this campus security, right?
Yeah.
And then Lauren was like, nah.
Oh,
it's
no.
cool. He's just going to drop it off at my apartment, and I won't even see him, right?
Okay.
And so,
then he's going to hide in your apartment and kill you when you sleep.
Fucking right.
Okay.
So then Melvin dropped off the car in the parking structure.
Uh-huh.
And apparently, everything was good.
Kosher. We're cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Lauren calls campus security to say that he dropped the car off, but that she would need a ride to pick it up, which I didn't know that they provided that service.
I didn't either. But also, could you do a quick bomb sweep?
Right? Like, can you check the back seat to make sure he's not back there with a fucking
right? Check
piano
under
wire?
The seats, even though he would never fit. We just need to look.
Yeah. Check the trunk. I don't know.
I feel like he's touching my ankles.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's a fucking awesome service.
That
and
is.
So they did that.
Okay.
And she got to her car with no incident. So yay, police.
Nice. Good job.
Mm-hmm. So then on October 12th, Lauren started getting messages that she deduced.
Ooh, deduce. Uh-huh.
Were from Melvin's friends.
Okay.
And the messages said stuff like Melvin was dead and that it was Lauren's fault.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is an interesting turn of events.
Right.
That I did not predict.
No. She also said that the messages seemed like the person or people were trying to lure her somewhere.
Oh, fuck that. Don't go.
Yeah. So Lauren checked Facebook or whatever, like, social media thing
uh-huh.
and was like, no, looks like he's pretty fucking alive.
Oh, God.
But...
Well, good detective work on her part.
Yeah, right? Like, I'm going to check this before I take that into account. If y'all hear whistling, it's Stacey's kid in the background.
He's got a whistle. A rape whistle.
He's smart.
He's not being raped.
Oh, God. Better not be.
Oh, God.
But she was like, this is harassment, right?
Yeah. So, oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for her.
So she called campus security to let them know what was happening.
I like how everything is campus security.
I'm pretty sure they're like cops.
Yeah, but I feel like at this point it's like personal, right? Like it's not just happening on campus. I'm getting a phone call or text messages or something like, let's get the police involved.
Yeah, I don't know. I probably would too, or I would want to as well.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And security was like, all right, do you feel threatened?
Should I secure this campus?
Yeah. And Lauren was like, no.
I just want to let you know.
Yeah,
in case
basically.
I come up dead.
So she was kind of like, no, I don't really feel threatened. But also, like, they sound like they're trying to kind of lure me somewhere.
Yeah, creepy, right?
Exactly. And so security was like, all right, well, don't go anywhere that makes you uncomfortable and let us know if you keep getting messages.
Okay.
And so she's like, deuces. Thanks, buddy.
Great advice.
Yeah. So on the next day, which is October 13th, she got some messages that were asking her for $1,000 in order to not post compromising pictures of her online.
Extortion.
Yes.
So did she know that he took these pictures?
I'm assuming so, okay. Probably. Like, she has to, because she sent the money.
Okay, so listen, again, if you're only together for a month,
yeah,
don't be taking pictures.
But what if they're trying to be, like, risque and, like, I don't know. I didn't take pictures after a month.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
But it's a
and
newer
if
era.
Risque,
the era of Tinder and shit, where yeah. They're sending dick pics back and forth.
Yeah, but what is
probably
she sending, like, labia pics?
That's what I'm thinking. You want a picture of my roast beef sandwich?
No one does.
No one does.
Also, no one wants your dick pic, though.
No, that's true. That shit is assaulting.
It's so aggressive.
Yeah. Why is it so angry?
So veiny.
So she sent money to this account.
Okay.
But she also contacted the campus security again and was like, yo, this is pretty fucked up, right?
Oh my God, Lauren, come on.
Yeah.
Send the money.
And so on October 19th, they opened a sexual extortion case against Melvin.
Okay. He didn't go to school there, though, right?
No.
That's what's so weird about this whole campus police thing.
Yeah, like, they don't both go to this school. Administration doesn't need to really be involved anymore.
Yeah, why wouldn't they be like, I need to refer you to somebody else now?
Yeah, pass it on to the professionals.
Yeah.
So on Monday, October 22nd at 10:30 a.m., Lauren got a text from someone saying they were the deputy chief and that she should come to the police station.
Okay.
But Lauren is smart, right?
Yeah.
And so she was like, nope, fuck that. The police aren't going to text me this shit.
Yeah.
And so she contacted them and they were like, nope, don't leave your apartment.
We didn't text you.
Yeah, we're not going to text you that shit.
Yeah.
Don't go anywhere.
Okay, good.
And some of Lauren's friends who probably didn't know the whole situation also later came forward and said that Melvin had been waiting around for Lauren in the residence hall with them during that time.
Creepy.
Yeah. Obviously it was him.
Yeah,
right?
He's like trying to get her outside of her apartment.
Exactly.
How scary. What if you were like a sitting duck in your own apartment?
Fucking right.
Terrifying.
Like, don't ever leave.
Yeah. And you knew it.
Yeah.
Or you suspected it.
That's awful.
Yeah.
But I guess you never really think it's going to be as bad as it
is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I overthink though.
Yeah, I overthink for sure. I'm like, the moment I open this door, I'm going to get hit with a baseball bat. So I'm going to be prepared by having my arm like this.
Yeah, but I'm also that person that could probably convince myself, like, you're just being crazy.
Yep, yep.
And then, like, I'm going to go to class because I have to go to class, right?
Yeah, at 10 o'clock at night.
So I guess in this time frame, the 9th to the 22nd, mm-hmm. Lauren contacted campus security about Melvin 6 times.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Was she just getting escorts every time she had to go somewhere?
I don't think she was getting escorts, but she's like, hey, he is fucking harassing me. And they were like, crazy, right? Tell us if he does it again.
Oh my
and she's
gosh.
Like, hey, he did it again. And they're like, whoa, well, don't leave your house if you feel uncomfortable. And she's like, fucking, all right, man. Like,
but I gotta go.
He just made me pay him $1,000 so he didn't post nude pictures of me online.
Oh my God.
And they're like, whoa, that's sexual extortion. We're gonna open a case on that fucking 5 days later or whatever.
Yeah. Refer her to police.
Yeah.
This is, like, making me mad.
This goes beyond you at this point.
Yeah. At this point, it's, like, irresponsible on their part, I feel like.
We will talk about that soon.
Okay, okay.
Because so does the mom.
Okay, good.
So apparently she felt safe later that evening, and she left her apartment to go to, like, an evening class.
No, Lauren.
And she was on the phone with her mom walking to her car at about 8:20 p.m.
Uh-huh.
Her mom said the last thing that she heard was Lauren yell, "No, no, no." And then Stop. She heard screaming.
Oh.
And then nothing.
That's my nightmare.
Yeah.
You always feel like you're safe if you're on the phone with somebody, at least.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
So Lauren's mom told Lauren's dad what she had just heard, but stayed on the line with Lauren's phone in case she could hear anything else.
Yes.
Like, she's going to Liam Neeson the fuck out of this thing,
yes.
right?
Yes. Get it, girl. Get
yes.
it.
Yes. Fucking, this lady is on it. And so Lauren's dad called the police, and 2 minutes later, someone picked up Lauren's phone and saw that it was still on a call, and told Lauren's mom that Lauren's stuff was all over the ground, but she didn't see Lauren or, like, anybody around.
So this is, like, somebody walking by.
Yeah, that just saw, like, a bunch of stuff and a phone, and they picked up the phone and were like, whoa, there's still someone on the line. Like, this is crazy.
Hello? Yeah.
Yeah. And so then police arrived at the parking lot at 8:31, which is only 11 minutes after this whole thing started.
No.
They searched the parking lot and Lauren's apartment, and they find Lauren's body in the back seat of a car in
Already?
The parking lot. Yep.
Was her body alive? I'm assuming not, because you said her body and not Lauren.
Generally, bodies are not conscious.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
So, Melvin...
How long did it take them to find her? Do you know?
I don't know. I think they found her pretty immediately.
Okay.
Yeah, like, she was in that parking lot, and they were just like, whoa, what about that car?
And then they popped the trunk, and she was there.
Well, she was in the back seat.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So they just, like, kind of looked in the car, and were like, holy shit, there's the girl.
Her.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Melvin had ambushed Lauren in the parking lot, dragged her into a car that he had driven there, and then shot her seven times.
Oh, my gosh.
What the fuck?
Oh, my gosh.
What the fuck, right?
That's really intense.
Yeah. First
of all, no one heard her. Like, witnessed the shots?
No, no one heard the shots. The mom didn't hear the shots on the phone, which I don't know.
A silencer?
I don't know.
Oh, my
gosh. I was
like,
maybe he closed the door, but...
maybe.
Like, he was in there with her, in which case you would go fucking deaf if you're shooting a gun in a car. Also, they were only dating for a month.
That's like some strong-ass feeling.
Chill the fuck out,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, tone it down.
Yeah, nobody is in love after a month. And if you are... Peace be with you
and
on your journey,
you.
Because you're fucking psycho.
That is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
In, like, the middle of this parking lot, he was like, this is how it's going to happen.
Yeah. At 8:30 at night. Like, that's
oh
not even
gosh.
Dark sometimes.
It's so crazy to me that, like, I realize that it only takes a split second to lose your life, but that it happens so fast. You know, usually it's, like, days later, then you find the body, and then you have to figure out how long it had been there, but...
No, it
minutes.
Was, like, minutes. Like, they knew minutes.
Oh, my gosh. I cannot even imagine that mom.
Yeah.
Or the father.
Fucking awful.
Yeah.
That mom, I can only imagine she hears her poor daughter screaming every single
How
day in her head.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, that's fucking terrifying. Okay.
Yes. But apparently, like, she had been talking to her mom, and she was really happy, and she just, like, passed exams and stuff. Like, she was in a really good mood.
Oh, no.
And they were just, like, trying to hang up, like, trying to say bye.
Yeah.
And then... That happened. Yeah.
She probably had just gone to her car.
Right.
And he was, like, waiting there for her.
Well, her body was found in a car that he had driven there.
Yeah, but do you think that she was going to the parking lot to get to her car?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So he was, like, waiting there. He saw her car and was like, she's going to come back to this.
Yeah, and he probably parked near it.
Yep.
Fucking crazy person.
Dick.
So after the shooting, Melvin called a woman that he had met on a dating site and asked her to pick him up. Because he had a fucking dead body in his car.
Yeah,
so
he can't drive this anywhere.
Yeah. And so she was like, totes, got you.
Oh, no, lady.
Yeah, and they went to dinner, and then they went back to the lady's house where Melvin took a shower.
Oh, my gosh.
And then the woman dropped Melvin off at a coffee shop in downtown.
What the fuck?
A bit later, this lady saw news reports about the shooting, and they had Melvin's picture up because they were like, maybe she got killed by this guy who's been fucking harassing her for a month, right?
Oh, my gosh.
So they had his picture up, and they were currently searching for him. And so she was like, oh, fuck.
I just dropped him off at this coffee shop.
Yeah. So she called the police. She appears to have been an innocent in all of this.
Yeah.
And as soon as she recognized Melvin's picture, she called the police. So she ended up not getting charged with anything.
Yeah.
Like, accomplice charges or
anything
like that.
She didn't know she was helping.
Yeah. But fucking whoa.
Can you imagine? You'd be, like, shaking terribly. Like,
yeah.
Holy shit, what?
imagine you just got back from dinner and you're like, that was a nice date. I met this guy on a dating site.
And the whole time he had a gun on him that he murdered somebody with.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I don't know that he had the gun on him. But still.
He took a shower in her house or her apartment or whatever.
That's also a little weird to do if you just started going on a date with this guy.
Which made me question. They went to dinner before they went back to the apartment. So, like,
why
did
he have
showering? Blood on him?
Maybe they boned or they were going to bone or something. So they're like, let's shower.
Maybe. But it didn't say that you showered together. Maybe she just didn't want to say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. So back to Melvin.
Okay.
They obviously knew that he had done it because of the amount of times that Lauren contacted the police about him.
Yeah, we have our suspect number one.
Yeah. But also, security cameras showed him in that parking lot around that time.
Creeping.
Yep. And a little after midnight, police saw Melvin, like they found him, and they chased him on foot, and he ran into a church and shot himself.
This bastard.
Yep, he died. He
son of a bitch.
Yep.
Oh, I hate him.
Yep. Side note, apparently a friend of Melvin's loaned him the gun, but the friend was told by Melvin that he wanted to teach his girlfriend how to shoot, so he wasn't thinking, like, anything nefarious was going to happen with it.
Oh, my gosh. How, first of all, you feel awful that you're the friend that did that. Also, how creepy to know that he said he wanted to show his girlfriend how to shoot with it.
Yeah.
And he ended up shooting her with it.
Yeah.
Third of all, answers my question, he did have the gun on him on the date.
Yeah, he totally did.
Ugh, creepy.
So scary.
What a fucking weirdo. And this dude's almost 40.
Yeah. Like, for a 21-year-old girl.
Leave her alone.
First of all, generational gap. Like, I know that some people have big gaps in their relationships and stuff, but, like, 21 to 37, there's too much, like, life difference.
Oh, and that's when you experience so much life.
Exactly. Like, that's too much. And of course he's going to try and be controlling. He's trying to get someone young that he can manipulate.
Yeah, because that's what this guy does. That's
exactly
what he's into.
So the gun loaner guy isn't going to get any charges either because he apparently was, like, fucking distraught over giving this guy a gun.
Oh my gosh, people, don't loan your fucking weapons out.
Yeah, so you've kind of already touched on this a bit, but campus security here.
Yeah.
They could have handled this a little bit better, right?
Maybe a little more seriously.
Yeah. Or, like, differently, if not better.
Yes.
So, some people, obviously, are pretty upset that the campus security didn't contact adult probation and parole after getting contacted multiple times about Melvin and learning that he was a sex offender.
That's a good idea because he has previous offenses.
Yeah, he's going to be at least on probation or parole. Yeah. Contact their officer and be like, fucking check in on your boy.
Yeah, your boy's being fucking weird out there.
Yeah, he's doing some sketchy shit.
Yeah.
And it's a fucking history of sexual abuse. He's sexually extorting this lady. Like, this is a pattern. Yeah. Fucking lock this guy up.
Oh my God, that's so sad. I'd be so mad if I were the mom.
Yes. This mom. This poor mom.
Yes.
I mean, poor everybody in this family, but...
Yeah.
This mom, like, knew and called it and everything, and I feel awful for her.
Ugh.
So then campus security came back and said that, at the time, they didn't feel that they had enough evidence to contact the probation and parole, and that they had been currently investigating to get more evidence.
What? Come on. It's not your job to get evidence.
Right?
Yeah.
But then they would have contacted them.
No.
Like, that would have been the next step.
It's not your job to gather evidence for the police. That's the police jobs. You just need to be like, yo, this is a problem.
Yeah.
And I think it warrants your attention.
Yeah.
They're just trying to cover their own ass.
We've gotten multiple fucking complaints about this.
That's enough evidence.
Yeah, exactly.
Ugh. Get out of here. At least, the least you can do in this scenario is be like, whoa.
My bad.
You're right. Drop the ball.
Yeah.
That clear.
Yeah.
We learned a lesson. Not going to do that shit again.
Yeah. Which the campus did come out and they're like, well, we're going to try and better our security and blah, blah, blah. But, like, they're not taking any kind of responsibility.
No, of course not. Yeah. Stupid.
Which the family is pretty upset about. We'll
get into
that.
I would be also.
Yeah. They also mentioned that since Melvin was only threatening Lauren financially and reputationally, that they didn't believe there was an intent to physically harm her.
Oh, I'm sorry. He has a fucking history of this shit.
I mean...
And also, it does... Like, are you going to wait till she gets physically harmed to do something? Like,
exactly.
What the fuck?
And is that really your call to make?
No.
Why don't you just call the police and you're like, hey, maybe you should get this fucking guy on record, right?
Yeah, he's doing some weird shit.
For doing the thing that he's on probation or parole for.
Yeah.
He's sexually extorting someone. That's probably a violation of your parole as a sexual fucking predator.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
Don't be stupid. Also, during the previous contact with campus security, when asked if she felt threatened by Melvin, Lauren had said no. Yeah. So the campus was like, oh, she said that she didn't feel, like, physically threatened by him. We didn't think it would go this far.
Yeah, but do you have to feel threatened in order to do something for you? Like, as the campus police, do you have to have somebody feel threatened before you're like, I think the police should get involved? Like, that shouldn't be somebody else's call. That should be your call. Like, I don't want this shit happening on my campus.
Yeah, like...
And I'm not equipped to handle this, so here's the police.
Exactly.
Come, like, fix this problem.
I don't have the steady hands to handle this kind of procedure. And also, yeah, in the off chance that someone does get shot 7 times in the back of a car,
yeah,
on your campus,
my parking lot, yeah,
yeah, maybe just contact police and be like, you know what? I did my job.
Yeah, exactly.
I did the part that I'm supposed to do.
Yes. I checked my boxes.
Exactly. So all the campus sports teams had stickers and patches made to remember Lauren, and they wore them during the games and the meets.
Aww.
And there was also a memorial fund created for Lauren, and the family requested that it be used for future scholarships for student athletes in track and field.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. In recent news, which this whole thing is pretty recent, but yeah, I mean like last month recent, Lauren's family is suing the University of Utah for $56 million in damages.
Good.
And they're saying that officials refused to take responsibility for missing chances to prevent her death despite multiple reports to police. Well, campus security.
Yeah.
And the lawsuit also alleges that the campus police refused to respond to the reports based on the assumption that Lauren, like most women, was unreasonable, hysterical, hypersensitive, paranoid, overreacting to the situation.
That's what they're saying?
And not being truthful. Hold the fucking phone, right?
Stop it.
Like most women?
Stop
it. I feel personally attacked.
I feel assaulted right now.
Yeah. That's first, like, fuck you. I don't know.
How could they say that?
Well, that was a quote from the lawsuit. The lawsuit is alleging that the campus refused to respond to these reports.
Okay, because of those reasons.
Based on these assumptions,
yeah,
that Lauren was like most women, whatever. So I don't know who actually wrote
that.
Oh
my God. Okay. I was like, no fucking way.
But I don't really care who wrote it.
Handed to them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're trying to, if like Lauren's family or lawyers or whatever are stating this, then they're trying to already push their case to look like, you know, look, they did this because this is how they feel about women, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, that's kind of what it seems like, but it's so, like, hurts me on the inside.
Shocking.
Like, offensive. Yeah, like, what do you mean, like most women, overreacting? Motherfucker, she was trying to walk to her car at night and not get assaulted.
Yeah, that's not overreacting.
No, that's just trying to be a human being.
Exactly.
Existing in this world. I'm sorry for existing in this world, and you're gonna fucking murder me?
Yeah, but from, like, the way I think of it, I totally agree with everything you're saying.
Yeah.
But the way I think of it is, like, okay, their lawyer is putting this out there in a way to shape your opinion of the police.
Yeah, which
but not
did,
that the actual
obviously,
yeah,
I'm upset about it.
Yeah, but not that the actual police feel that way.
Yeah.
But they could if that's where it came from.
Yeah. It didn't say, all it said was the lawsuit alleged that, so I don't know if...
That's fucked up. I cannot believe, I mean, other things have shocked me more in life, but if the fucking campus police came out and said that shit...
Yeah.
Their ass is about to get fucking handed to them.
Oh my God, I would rage. I would rage.
Yeah.
That's, I'm already like, are you fucking kidding me?
Is some shit.
Yeah. And I'm not even like a feminist, like,
yeah,
oh, power to women type thing. Like, it's obviously, like, I want all of that stuff, but yeah, I'm not that person that goes off spouting it. But then when you say, like, most women.
Oh, yeah. Overreact.
Yeah, yeah. Overreact or are paranoid. You. Like, you have no fucking idea what women
have
to
deal
with.
Well, she was right.
Yeah, exactly. She got fucking shot 7 times.
Oh, my God.
She wasn't reacting enough.
Yeah.
She was underreacting.
Yeah.
But goddamn, right?
Holy shit, that's really intense.
Yeah. I can't fucking believe he went, like, on a date after he killed someone.
I want to know what that lady thinks. I want to talk to that lady.
She fucking dodged 7 bullets right there.
Bad joke.
Seriously,
literally,
though.
Literally, she did. Yeah.
Like, what if they had a,
what a
quote-unquote
story,
good relationship? And then dated for a while. And then she was like, you know what? Not feeling it.
Dude, do you think she gets drunk and she's like, guess what? Or like when you have to do like 2 truths and a lie.
Oh my God, seriously.
Or 2 lies and a truth, whatever
yeah.
it is.
You're or
like,
the
I had a murderer shower in my house.
Yeah. Right after murdering someone.
Oh my God.
Or the first day of class.
Yeah.
Everybody say something interesting that we might not know about you.
Well, icebreaker.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Stacy, and
I went on a first date with a guy who fucking murdered a person right before it.
I almost got murdered.
Yeah, that would stop the class. I would talk about that for the rest of the class.
Yeah, I'd be like, I'm taking questions.
Yeah, I would consider that my therapy.
Holy fucking shit.
That lady has God to be in it.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's fucking some crazy insane stuff.
Right?
Well, that's some excellent cases again.
Yeah.
Always keeping us on our toes.
Yeah. So if you're still with us, everybody.
They are. Because we have a goddamn.
We do.
Well, let's just do, because we actually have a handful that we have on cue now. You guys are coming through. I love it.
Yes.
Let's do the story ones, because we've been getting some emailed to us, too. And it's not that people are saying goddamn. They're telling us their fucking story. That is a goddamn shit show.
That's true. One of them made me, like, fucking spit my drink out. I was laughing so hard.
I think that's the one we're going to do today. And it is from our listener, Angela.
Yep.
Who told this story so vividly that it felt like Aaron and I were there when we read it. But basically, she said that she was in a church listening to our podcast, which, first of all,
fucking excellent place to do that.
Solid decision. A goddamn Christmas miracle you didn't burst into flames right then and there.
Right.
But supposedly, she was sitting in there listening to, I don't know why I said it like that.
Yeah, like allegedly. Her. Yeah, allegedly. According to Angela.
Angela was listening to our show in a church. Sure. No, but she was sitting there waiting for her child to get out of service and was listening to our show. And Aaron said she was listening to the episode about that lady, that Mary Reeser, who spontaneously combusted. And evidently, Aaron had said, like, so that bitch just got taken up by Jesus or something like that.
And I was sure of it at the time. I said that shit with conviction.
You did. It's one of my favorite things about you is when you say something offensive, you always say it with conviction. You don't hold back.
No.
It's what, like, adds to the shock value.
I knew that's what happened.
And so right at that moment, Angela looks up and sees, like, fucking white Jesus nailed to a cross. And then her headphones come flying out of her ears because her phone fell out of her lap or whatever.
Oh, my God.
Is that not the most annoying thing in the world, though?
That's the most painful thing in the world.
When you get, like, ripped out.
Shockingly painful.
It's, like, second to stubbing your toe.
Yeah.
And so her earphones get fucking ripped out of her face. And it was like Jesus himself was telling her to stop it.
Turn that shit off. Oh my God, that shit was great.
Oh yeah, there was more to the story, like she lost service and shit like that.
Yeah,
I read this like a week ago.
Yeah, but basically I don't think our podcast is allowed in church.
No, but I think Jesus approves.
You know, I don't really know him, so.
Oh man. So Angela, thank you for sending us your goddamn.
Yep.
We literally, that is one that authentically we were, like, dying laughing.
That one made me, like, snort shit out my nose.
You need to write children's books. Shit is great.
Maybe just regular books. I'll read your regular book.
I'll read them all. I'm really into children's books right now because my, you know, that's all I fucking have time for.
That's true.
Anyway.
Oh, you poor soul.
I know.
In recent news, we've started a Facebook group.
Yes. Everybody go join the group.
Yep.
We have some amazing listeners who are the moderators. What's up, Jackie and Amy?
Hi.
Thank you so much for taking on that fucking responsibility.
Yeah, you guys are fucking amazing.
And it's so fun because everybody's participating in the Facebook group.
Yeah.
We had a handful of people that were like, yo, make a Facebook group. And we were like, yeah.
I don't think anyone actually wants to hear what I have to say. And then I realized that a lot of people listen because they actually want to hear what we have to
say.
Isn't
it so exciting?
Yeah. Well, and I, as Aaron, am trying to get more into the social media side of things, so I might actually be talking to you people now.
Yeah, she started chiming in, and I was like, oh, holy fucking shit, it's Aaron herself appearing. Everybody, check it out. She's doing the social media thing.
I know. I'm trying. Listen, I'm learning.
Yeah, it's hard, right?
It's real hard.
As somebody who, like, grew up in the era of, like, social media entering our life at an age that we should know how to do this shit.
Yeah.
It's surprisingly shocking how little I know.
Well, it's because I always had the mindset of, like, with Facebook, I would never post anything because I'm like...
No, you just creep on your friends.
Yeah, I creep on everybody because I'm like, nobody cares what I had for fucking breakfast.
No.
Like,
no,
literally, no, I use it for pictures of my kids so that my family can be like, oh, he's still alive.
That's exactly what I use it for. Or when we're drunk and we take pictures together.
Which, exactly.
By the way, we have to apologize to our listeners because normally we would have... every weekend a drunken picture of you and I together.
That's fair.
But the whole time we've been doing this podcast, yeah. we've been pregnant or something. Because we started it at the end of September, and I got pregnant in October.
Yeah.
So we haven't had the opportunity.
So we don't have our stupid selfie faces.
No, all together. Done up at a fucking country concert.
Yeah.
With booze in our hands.
Yeah.
So that'll happen, you know, like next year.
Yeah, in like 6 months.
Yeah. In the meantime, we're going to try to like start taking pictures together. It's just really hard when you're sober.
Yeah, we're very awkward.
Yeah. If you haven't caught on yet.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this kind of got off topic, but go join the Facebook group.
Yep. It's called the Goddamn Pod Group.
Yeah, the Goddamn Pod Group. You can find it on our Facebook page.
Yep. And ask to join. We're super selective. We will add everyone.
It's very exclusive.
Yep.
Also, I have to thank fucking Jackie. She made me the most beautiful baby blanket.
It's true.
Holy shit. Girl, you need to open an Etsy shop.
Hell yeah, you do.
You crushing that shit.
I saw that handmade ribbon.
Yeah. And the presentation.
Oh my God, it was so pretty.
Beautiful.
It's such a pretty blanket.
You're amazing.
Thank you.
My baby loves it.
Yeah. Will you go snuggle up with it?
Yes.
Sorry for talking like that. Just got a glimpse into my life.
How you talk to y'all babies.
Right.
I know, they're so fucking adorable, but I wrap my baby up in that shit, even though it's 1,000 degrees, we've got the AC blasting.
Yep, so nice and cold in here. Yep.
Yeah, as we're sweating to death in his room.
Yeah, well, listen, the AC isn't on in here.
No, so. It doesn't blow in here, it's miserable. All right, well, hey, everyone, go to our website, isgdpodcast.com, and you can see pictures pertaining to our cases and links to our Threadless shop so that you can get some fucking merchandise. And also links to our Patreon, because like we've mentioned before, evidently you can't just like Google that shit, because we are not suitable for work.
Because we are taking the Lord's name in vain in our title.
Yes, and people find that offensive, and evidently corporations are not willing to not mark us explicit because of that.
Yep.
And so you cannot just search it in the Patreon app or whatever the fuck you use to listen to Patreon. So go to our website and click on the link, and it will take you there. Also, email us your case suggestions or your goddams, or if you just want to say, what's up, baby? At isgdpodcast@gmail.com.
Yep. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and also at a brand new Facebook group.
Yep.
So you can send us messages at isgdpodcast.
Yep.
You can snail mail us at P.O. Box 2764, Spring Valley, California, 91979.
Everybody, make sure you go on and subscribe, rate, and review on whatever fucking app you use to listen to us on. And if you can't, because you have an app that doesn't do that, then just give us a quick shout out on social media. Send us an email to show us your love. Whatever it is, that shit keeps us going.
Yeah.
And we love it.
Tell a friend. Tell your friend's friend.
Yep. Keep it going. Push it down people's throats. You will like this.
Yeah.
Oh, also, I wanted to give a quick shout out to our friend Brandy, who is also a fellow listener.
That's right.
She started her own podcast.
Hell yeah, she did.
You people, if you want to go out there and start a podcast, we support you 1,000%.
Absolutely.
We got your back.
Yes, we do.
Text us, email us, whatever the fuck it is you can do to us, and we will give you as much detail as you can. Not that we know exactly what the fuck we're doing,
because oh, no.
We're just, like, winging it.
We are totally winging it.
Exactly. But Brandy's podcast is That Dead Body Show, and she's officially on all platforms, so you guys need to go check it out.
Woohoo!
I listened to the first episode, and it was amazing, and the second one just came out, so I'm going to have to listen to it.
I'm going to listen to it on my way home.
I'm jelly. I'm never in my car now, so it's hard to listen to podcasts.
Oh, right?
But anyway, so go listen to her show, go subscribe, support her, a fellow ISGD listener. All right, I think that's it.
All right, peeps.
We love you. Be fucking nice to each other.
Yeah, you better be.
Don't kill anyone.
Don't do that.
Bye.
Bye.